Greetings, radio friends. We're happy to come to you once again through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. May His blessings of grace and peace be multiplied to you abundantly today. May you have a wonderful day in the Lord. This program is sponsored by the Church of God of Resurrection Hope, a Church of God of Abrahamic Faith. We're located on the Walt Arney Road in the Whitnall section of Lenoir, North Carolina. If you're in the area, we invite you to attend and worship with us in our services. Sunday school is Sunday morning, 9:30. The morning worship service, 10:30, and the evening message at 7 o'clock each Sunday evening. Jesus Christ spoke with power to those who would believe, and He made a point that we do not want to fail to grasp. He was the greatest preacher who ever lived, and He said in John 5:39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." Now let us stop right in the midstream of this quotation. Jesus is saying, search the Scriptures. But why do we search the Scriptures? We search them to see if we cannot satisfy ourselves that by some means or another, we have eternal life. But now let's listen. Let's hearken to all that Jesus said, searching the Bible, reading the Scriptures, even being able to quote it with perfection does not give one eternal life. Now let us continue the quotation of our Lord. The Scriptures, He says, "For they are they which testify of me." Yes? Beloved, one thing we can note carefully, the Scriptures testify of our Lord, our blessed and glorious Redeemer, our Savior. There is no Scripture that does not put Him as the center of salvation. They testify of Him. Well, amen. And what good is their testimony unless we believe the testimony of the Scriptures? I've heard people say, "I believe the Bible from lid to lid, or from one lid to the other." And so what? Will believing the Bible save you and make you a child of God? You believe that there is one God? Well, glory. The devils believe and tremble. It takes more than just hearing the testimony, and it takes more than just believing that testimony is true. How do I know this? By the Lord's preaching. Listen and hear His word. Let's go back and pick up the whole quotation. "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." What a saying. The whole Bible is about a living Redeemer, an immortal Savior who is a living Savior. Salvation is not a book, but the Bible is a book. How about how to obtain salvation through a living person? A person who was born and died and whom God raised from the dead, the author of eternal salvation, who was made a quickening spirit when He was raised from the dead. And He says to these Pharisees, "You will not come unto me that you might have life." In John 1:11, we find Jesus came into His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. One must receive Christ. One has to believe on Christ and receive Him. The whole Bible is the testimony that leads one to Christ by that testimony, and you can believe the whole Bible, but that does not mean that you're a Christian. A Christian is one who believes the testimony and receives the Lord personally, just as the Scriptures testify. We must receive Him according to His specifications. We must receive Him believing that the Scriptures relate the truth in every aspect about Him, and that He is exactly what the Scriptures testify of Him, and He will do for us exactly what the Scripture says. We want to keep this Scripture in mind. What Jesus said is important. But "He will not come unto me," but "ye will not come unto me," He said, "that ye might have life." Let us turn to Romans 10:8, where we're told how to be saved. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." The word of faith which we preach is the testimony of the Scriptures about the all-saving one, the Lord Jesus, the one who died for our sins according to the Scriptures, the one who was buried and whom God raised from the dead, who ascended into the presence of God, into the holy place, and not without blood, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now what is that word of faith? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. To believe, this means you have a resurrected Savior who died for you, who is alive, and is able to save you to the utmost, because He's alive, living, to bring you the joys of His salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He did not say whosoever shall believe the Bible from lid to lid shall be saved. The Bible, lid from lid, is a testimony which testifies of a raised immortal living Lord full of power of immortality who's obtained eternal redemption for you. Why would you want to call on the Lord? Because if you believe the true testimony of the Scriptures, you will know only by receiving Him can you receive power to become a son of God. Only by calling upon Him and coming to Him can you ever obtain that life eternal. Only by calling upon Him can you receive forgiveness of sin. And then Paul explains, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Well, that makes sense. You first have to believe on Him before you can call on Him. You believe because the Word was preached to you, and you believed it enough to call on Him. And Paul asks, shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? One will have to hear about Jesus before he can believe. This is why it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And here, believe means more than to just think in your mind that Christ is a Savior and Lord, and just leave it at that. The devils believe and tremble. And how shall they hear without a preacher? You see, a preacher preaches the gospel, and the gospel testifies to you of Jesus Christ, and you believe the record is true, so you turn to Christ for salvation. A living Savior, a never-dying any more person, who has tasted death for every man, but now is made to live eternally with eternal life. In Romans 10:17, we find, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the end of the world. Just hearing the word of God does not save a person. It may be a blessing to them, but upon hearing the word of the living God, one must have faith in it and must be moved or motivated into action to do what it instructs. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But Israel was not rejected nor did Israel fail because they did not believe the Scriptures, but because they did not receive the one that the Scriptures testified about. And do we think that we can do the same, read the Scriptures, search the Scriptures, and then never receive Christ as the way to life eternal? Oh, but, preacher, they were broken off because of unbelief. They surely was, for had they believed, they would have received and let Him come into their heart and their life if they had believed in the depth of the word and meaning of belief. Jesus, the wonderful Savior of the world, do you know Him? Or do you just know about Him? Jesus said, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Note carefully, He did not say, he that believeth shall be saved. For if that had been the case, then even the devils that believe would be saved. They believe that there is one God and tremble, but He said, he that believeth and is baptized. Now I'm going to ask you, how do you receive Christ? Note, he that believeth and is baptized. Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? You mean that we can be baptized into Christ? Well, amen, that's what it says. We are baptized into the benefits of His death, which gives us the forgiveness of sins. We are buried with Him by baptism into the benefits of His death, and just as He is living, so we are raised by the glory of the Father. Well, amen and amen. For in that transaction, with our faith in Him, as we come to Him and receive Him, we are raised by the glory of the living God. And we come to walk in a new way of living, the newness of life that comes through having Christ in your heart as the hope of glory. For if we've been planted in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. This baptism is the putting on of Christ, receiving of Christ. Proof, Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Is it true or false? Does the Bible really mean what it says? Let us read the verse just before 27. The 26, he says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, the living Savior, the now Redeemer, the immortalized, life-giving Lord, victor over this world and all of the evils of this world. Have you ever been baptized into Christ? Have you put on Christ? This is an important question for everyone. But baptism is not that important, we're told. In Peter, in 1 Peter 3:21, we find that he's talking about the flood. He says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's give you another translation, which perhaps will make it a little plainer. The New English Bible says, this water prefigured the water of baptism through which you are now brought to safety. What water? The flood waters that carried Noah and his family to safety, so the baptism waters carries us to safety. Weymouth says, and corresponding to the figure of baptism now saves you. 20th century New Testament and baptism, which this foreshadowed, now saves you. Moffat, baptism, the counterpart of that, saves you today. Goodspeed, not the mere removing of the physical stain. Moffat, not the mere washing of dirt from the flesh, but the craving of a conscience right with God. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at John, the third chapter. He said in the third verse, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He did not say, except the baby be born again, but a man. For a baby does not have the ability to think and to believe the testimony of the gospel and to hear it. But he did say, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, now what does baptism have to do with this? Verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, did you hear it? Why did he say of the water and of the Spirit? In Acts 2:38, when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, what did he tell the people they must do to be saved? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, children here perhaps presents a problem to some of us. Yes, when they hear the testimony and are old enough to believe it by faith to receive the Master, it stands to reason that you could preach to a three-day-old child, it would not and could not believe. I could preach to a six-month-old child and it could not believe. It doesn't have the ability to hear and believe the testimony and understand it. But the promise is to us and to our children, and this is talking about children who are old enough to meet the qualifications for baptism. And the first qualification for baptism is to believe that Christ is the Son of the living God and understand that. And believing, you come and are baptized into him, being buried with him by baptism into the benefits of his death. This is being begotten of the water and of the Spirit. If we study John 3:3, it says, except the man be born from above, is the marginal rendering. A man who is born of the Spirit will be born of the Spirit at the coming of the Lord in fullness from this mortal that we are to immortality. But a man is begotten by the word of truth today in a marvelous way, and he is also begotten by the water in of the Spirit as the word is in his heart. A child will be dealt with according to its ability to hear and believe. Some have set the time for baptism at 30 years of age. But the promise is unto us and to our children. Little children are too young to meet the qualification of believing. We find a verse of Scripture in 1 John 2:12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I know here he's talking to little children, because in the next verse he says, I write unto you, you fathers, and in the next verse, I write unto you, young men. And so it's a great injustice to a young man or a young woman who comes to receive the Lord when we tell them they cannot come and be baptized because they're too young to understand. When they're old enough to read and understand the testimony of the Scriptures, when they go to school and they're able to read and understand the things there, and to understand the arithmetic and all of that. Jesus said of such, concerning the little children, for such is the kingdom of God. Now, we ought to think about these things. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, take these thoughts, use them for thy glory, and may people begin to understand the way of the Lord is the way of salvation by a living Savior. Amen.